Welcome, everybody. It is Elaine. It is Tuesday, June 18th, 2019. It is the Tuesday afternoon, noon Eastern Time PSS call. And I am filling in for Diane. This is usually a Diane group. If you're listening and you're not clear why I'm here, Diane's on vacation this week, and so you got me. And let's go ahead and start with celebrations and check-ins and see where everybody is, and then we will... and then we'll move into today's topic. Who wants to get started? Teresa or Lauren?
This is Lauren. I can start. I am going to celebrate that 2 days ago my son turned 18.
Congratulations.
And thank you. And he has also... started an internship, so that's been good. Some challenges with that that I will mention later, but I'm glad he has to do an internship for school, so he has started that this summer.
Brilliant, brilliant. Cool. Congratulations. Turning 18 is no small milestone. I am a firm believer that my son kept saying to me, "Why are you so excited that I turn 18? It's like there's nothing really any different." I'm like, "Because you are now responsible for you. I am no longer." Legally, it's a really great feeling. It's like it feels like a huge accomplishment. So, so bravo, because you got him there. I see somebody else has joined us, but it's a business name on the thing, so I need to know who it is. Who else has just joined us?
Jennifer Carson.
Hey, Jen. Got it.
It's not Diane.
So we're doing celebrations. That was Lauren. Teresa, you want to go next?
Sure. So I'm going to celebrate that. Even though there were a couple of moments where she didn't meet expectations, for example, in terms of a curfew, that I resisted the impulse to address it at the moment when it was late and we were tired. And probably likely, actually, there were two times when this happened, and one time I was better at it than the other. But I just know that late at night and being tired is the wrong time to bring these things up.
So you didn't
and
engage.
So, yeah, which was good, I think.
Awesome.
But then the problem is
that's
at some
really
point
good.
You have to engage. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you do have to come back to the conversation, but if you can do it when calmer minds prevail, it's going to be a much more effective conversation.
Yes.
So, way to go. And hard to do.
Yeah.
Jennifer, what about you? And it's Elaine here today, just FYI.
Hi, Elaine.
What do you want to celebrate?
That my husband and son haven't killed themselves, each other yet, that they've been together pretty much every single day for the past roughly 6 weeks. Due to my son being out of school and my husband being out of work on workers' comp, my son's stepped up and has not taken to playing nurse, but stepped up to help him a lot.
Awesome. So it's not only that they haven't killed each other, but your son is actually stepping into being a support structure.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. How old is your son?
18.
Awesome. All right. He's doing a little adulting.
Yeah.
That's kind of good. I love it. Congrats. So where do y'all want to focus this week? What's on your agenda for taking aim? And Teresa, since I don't know if you as well, I know it sounds like you've got a daughter, but if you can just sort of give me your brief demographic so I have some sense of who we're
sure.
focusing on.
I have a daughter who is a rising senior in high school. She'll be 18 in November, and she is the fifth of five girls. Two older sisters also have ADD, but in spite of that, actually, she wasn't tested and evaluated until freshman year of high school. But anyway, so she is she's a great kid, but if I had to say where I want to take aim, and this is something that feels a kind of distressing to me, is that at 17 and a half, I feel that she has problems being honest. And to me, that's such a foundational principle, and it causes me anxiety that I have a 17 and a half year old who, as you said at the beginning of this session, gosh, they are essentially legally able to kind of be their own boss. And so it's both a celebration and also a little bit scary if you feel like your
concerned
child isn't consistently honest. So anyway.
Okay. So I want to help you target a little bit, because honesty is a good topic. Right?
Yeah.
And as you get curious about it, there's lots of things that can lead a 17-year-old to being dishonest. And sometimes it's defensive, and sometimes it's independence, and there are a lot of things. But when you think about a time that she's not being honest that you'd really like to take aim on it, can you be more specific? What's the most concerning? Is it honest with herself? Is it, you know, honest in a certain circumstance? Is it what's the most concerning?
Well, I mean, trying to get where you want to go. I guess I sit here and think, like, why wouldn't she be honest? And I think it all comes back to that buy-in of what I think is, for example, I mean, the recent example is she went to see a movie and told me it was going to be a different movie than it was. And so I think we just have a different perspective on what is a reasonable choice of a movie. You know, it gets all to that.
I'm going to stop you for a minute, if I may.
Yeah.
Can I just stop you for a second? So what I'm hearing
sure.
is it may be telling you the truth, even if she knows you're going to disagree with her.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so there's a lot of things that can cause kids to lie, and that doesn't necessarily mean they're a dishonest human, because as teenagers at that age, they're trying to differentiate from us. That's their job.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if she wants to live her life and make her choices, and she's going to feels like you're going to disagree or judge or whatever, then she may just be protecting herself. Right.
Yeah. Right.
Because it's a simple little, in her mind, it's a simple little white lie. And people do that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it could be, I don't want to upset her, or it could be, you know, there are a lot of things that could be motivating it. But it may not be, I'm a dishonest person. It may be, this isn't worth the battle. Right.
Right. Right.
So does that sound like a place to focus, which is helping her tell you the truth, even if she thinks you're going to disagree?
Yes, I love that. That resonates.
Okay. Okay, great.
Mm-hmm.
Who else?
This is Lauren. So I would like to take aim on the morning. As I mentioned, my son has an internship, which is great. They he has to be there. He's there from 7 to 11 every day, 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. every day. And he likes to stay up late at night.
I was going to say, such a terrible structure for a teenager, but okay.
It just is the way it is. He's doing he's doing IT stuff, and that's when they need him there. Like,
it is what it is. That's his job. Yep.
So, it is what it is. The morning.
So tell me more specifically where, when you think about mornings, what's the real challenge?
The challenge, and I was trying to do this morning. Well, I was asleep this morning. My husband woke him up 3 times, and he finally got up. There were no frozen waffles he could pop in the toaster, so he grabbed a bag of granola and, like, left, and I guess he ate some of it on the way to work. The challenge is, I think he needs some food before he goes to work, and I think, well, I guess I'll have to talk to him about the whole getting up thing. My husband is not pleased with having to go and wake him up 3 times. So there's the waking up, there's the eating, and then, like, getting to work on time, which he just barely gets there on time. So,
okay. So,
in trying to
so
play
what's
game,
important
I think,
to him?
I think the internship is important to do it because he needs it for school.
Well, is he committed to it? Is he committed to
it? Yeah.
Does he like
something
it?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. All right. So it's not like he's not dragging, saying, I'm not going. This is just the structure of how do you get up and out that early in the morning.
Yes. Yes. Today.
And once he's up and going, it sounds like he's moving. It's actually, so the real place to take aim is getting out of bed on time to make it to his internship.
Yeah, because if he can get out of bed, he can have time to eat breakfast or something, something.
Well, so I'm gonna challenge you a little bit that's your agenda, not his. The eating something, and at 18 years old, right? That's like I would like my son to eat breakfast every morning, but he's not going to, and I just have to accept that not everybody eats breakfast every morning. And even though I know it's better for his brain, and he even knows it's better for his brain, that's really not my battle to fight anymore, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you may. And we'll talk about this. You may shift into when you're having the conversation with him about getting up, finding out what's important to him about eating in the morning or how does he want to do it. But at the end of the day, I would encourage you to focus on the part that's impacting you, which is having to wake up to wake him up.
Mm-hmm.
And not focus on the part that's really his deal at this point. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. But I mean,
you can come back later and have a conversation with him about protein and breakfast in the mornings and the value and all of that. Like you can continue to influence that conversation with him, but at the end of the day, it's no longer your agenda.
That makes sense. I'm just having a hard time, I guess, going back and forth with like meeting him where he is versus learning to be responsible and like get up and out the door and get there on time.
Right. So the learning to be take off learning to be responsible because that's got a judgment tone to it, okay? He's not irresponsible because he struggles with getting up and out of the door in the morning. He's got ADD. He's 18. He's a teenager. It's kind of typical normal behavior. Fair?
Yes.
Okay. So, but you do want to help him get better at that. And so... Mm-hmm. A place to and he's got a vested interest in it, which is great. And if I look at, well, I want him to eat breakfast in the morning. That's all me. But if I look at, I don't want to have to get up and wake him up. That's a really reasonable place to take aim. Do you know what I'm saying? And he can't really argue with that because it's a fair request to say if you're going to get up and get out and be somewhere at 7 o'clock in the morning that you start learning to wake yourself up. Or getting some structures in place to help you, right? Like, I have a client I work with who had a similar issue, and her kid has to be, her daughter has to be at school at 5 in the morning, not school, at work, 5 in the morning this summer, really, really, really early.
Mm-hmm.
But when we got into it and started coaching around it, what we realized is she's taking sleep meds at night. And so it mm-hmm. might, it really wasn't a reasonable expectation that she was going to be able to get up without some support in the morning,
mm-hmm.
right? And so that's one of the places to look. And we haven't delved into it yet, but you haven't given me any indication that there's a reason he can't do it. And so that's a great place to take aim. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, he just chooses to stay up later.
Right. Right. And well, so great place to take aim, and let's come back to it in a minute. Okay.
Okay.
And just, I'm going to throw out, in case I forget, just write down rock and roll lifestyle.
Okay. And my aim is getting out of bed in the morning. Is that what we decided on?
Getting out of bed on time to make it to the internship. So what you really want is for him to get himself up independently in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm hearing. Correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I guess there is another challenge, though. If he gets up and then he may sit on his phone, but he's still getting up.
Well, but you've got to take one at a time. Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right. First, he's got to get up. If he's still not getting out of the door on time, then the next place to help him is to take aim
mm-hmm.
on how does he keep himself moving. But first, he's got to get up, or he's not going to be moving anywhere. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, Jennifer, what about you?
Mm-hmm. I think taking aim is just myself not being so serious. Learn to see things as more funny, or see things as comical as, you know, others.
So I want to caution you not to take aim on the topic for today. Okay?
Okay.
And that may be where you come up with a solution, but I want you to think about what's the change you want to see in your family dynamic. And it could be, I want to lighten up when it comes to talking to my son about yada yada, or I don't know what it is. It could be as I want to lighten up in a certain circumstance. But rather than take aim on the subject or the topic, I want you to think about what's some change you want to see in your family dynamic. Because today's topic may lead you to that, or it may not. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, they're always saying, oh, Mom, you're so serious. Don't take everything so seriously.
Okay. Okay. So what's an example of something that you take seriously that they've been saying for you to lighten up?
I think if, you know, they are joking about something and it's like, I just don't find it funny. Like, what?
Okay.
Or I say that's not appropriate language to use, or that's not appropriate to joke about that. In fact, that's the big thing is my son last year was fired twice from the same job at camp. The first time he was allowed, they do 3 week sessions. He was allowed to come back for the next session and then was let go from that session because of something that he joked about, but they didn't see it as a joke. And in hindsight, him looking back on it now, he's saying, yeah, that wasn't really a joke. I understand where they're coming from. And he's been working a lot this past year to not do that again.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to go back and work in July here. And it's like I just hear him joking about stuff that it's like, okay, that's not appropriate. And he goes, well, you know, I won't say that at camp. And it's like, well, don't even say it now. It shouldn't even be in your mind. And he's like, well, we're just joking.
You can't
have
stop
fun.
Him from having something in his mind, right? So he's going to think about all sorts of things. But what I think I hear you saying is you want to be able to communicate to him when something's inappropriate without where he'll actually hear it. You want to be able to communicate with him what is and is not appropriate in a way that he receives it. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So, because they're telling you lighten up, and you've got reason to be reacting this way, because he was fired twice. That's not insignificant, right? But there's something
right.
about how you're communicating it that he's not able to hear it.
Right.
Okay. Does that sound like a good place
there.
To take aim?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you say that? Yeah, it sounds
so
like a
sometimes
good place.
Sometimes it's about communicating in a way that they'll really receive it. It's like, how do I have this conversation with him so that he doesn't go on the defense, right?
Correct.
Okay. And hang on, I'm just capturing it. Got it. And I think it's a great place just for everybody to hear that sometimes it's not what we're doing, it's how we're doing it, and we're communicating in a way that they're not able to hear us because they've shut us down or because they've gotten defensive. And it's a great segue, if I may, into today's topic, right? Because topic today is about using humor and play. And if I were talking to parents of younger kids, I might talk a little bit more about play. But because y'all all have older teenagers, I really want to focus on humor. And it's funny because when Diane and I first started this work together, we have very different come-froms, if you will, on play and humor. You know, she doesn't have ADD. I do have ADD. My family dynamic is a little wackier. And humor is a tool that my husband and I have used a great deal to help us manage our kids with ADD. And it's a tool that I think Diane really had to learn to use because she was a more sort of executive function mom, and it wasn't a way to communicate that came naturally. It's not that she's not funny, because she's pretty funny, but it just she didn't see it as a skill because she was taking things seriously, right? Like what you're describing. Jennifer, and so there's something about using humor that's about tapping into our kids' really creative brains. So if you think about the five motivators, remember the first motivator for the ADD brain of the five is P, which is play, creativity, and humor. So our kids are highly motivated by this realm of play and creativity, and it often manifests as humor. A lot of our kids, anybody here, do your kids on this call have a kind of a wicked sense of humor? Anybody feel that way about your kid?
Yeah, he can. Definitely.
Okay. Anybody else? Do your kids have a, do they look, seek humor, like humor, have a funny sense of humor? Any of that?
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's average. Like, I don't think it's comedian level, but I think it's a normal level of
it. But like, that seek out and like things that are funny. Like, does your kid enjoy a good laugh?
Yeah.
Or a wry sense of humor or any of that? Just think about it.
Yeah, this is Lisa. I would say yes, but mostly with her friends. I don't necessarily think she
Absolutely.
Appreciates. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter whether it's with us or not. What matters is that if they've got a great, a well-developed sense of humor, if they appreciate things are funny, it's an access point to communicate with them. Right. And it's an access point for them to find their motivation to do things.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in my house, one of my kids' favorite things to do is to get something funny enough that mom's lost it. When I lose it at the dinner table, it's like they see that as the greatest win on the planet. Because I'm a tougher level, right? Like, if they get me laughing, then they know they've really hit something. And as they've gotten older, you know, the joke in the family now is, you know, mom's gotten mean. And it's not that I'm meaner, it's just I'm filtering less because they're older, yeah. right? And I can say things I wouldn't have said when they were 12 and 14.
Yeah.
But these kids tend to be highly motivated by the engagement, the stimulation of fun, funny play and humor, right? So if they're in a habit of not communicating with us that way, and a lot of us, you know, in my family, we call it mom-splaining. Do y'all know what I mean by that?
No.
My kids will accuse me of mom-splaining. They'll say something, and I'll take it literally or seriously, and I'll say, yeah, but they're like, mom, stop mom-splaining. I'm just kidding, you know.
Yeah.
But, and so now the joke is mom-splaining, and it's really funny because now I can catch them for mom-splaining too, right? But there's this shift that happens as they're now young adults, right? So you can start interacting with them as the adults they are becoming instead of treating them as the children they were. Does that make sense to people?
Mm-hmm.
Does that resonate?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so if you think about how differently you communicate with your friends than you did with your children, there are things you would say, there is language that you would use, there is, you know, there are stories you might tell that might not have been appropriate to share with them at 12, that they're ready to be with at 18, right? And it can change the dynamic of how they see you as a whole human being. So humor is a great access point for us for transparency, for them to get to know us as real people, as whole people, and not just, you know, this one face of mom or dad, for those listening. And it gives them a way to sort of lighten up. And what we know about the brain and how it works is that our kids, sometimes there's a lot that we're asking them to do, and there are a lot of responsibilities. And they'll do it if we could just lighten up and let them do it with a lighter hand. Right? If it didn't always have to be so serious, they're still going to do it, but they're going to do it with more levity, more openness, more flow. Does that make sense? Does that resonate for people?
And
one of the ways we can do that is by just being less serious ourselves and being more playful. You can have the same conversation with someone with laughter that you can with anger, and you can get a lot more benefit from the conversation. And so, you know, if Lauren's story is her son is having a hard time getting out of bed in the morning, you can go in there and real serious and say, you know, I'm tired of getting up and your dad shouldn't have to get up and, right, and you should be able to do this your own. Or you can go in there playfully and say, okay, we know you got to get up. We don't really want to be doing it. You don't really want us doing it. So let's brainstorm the most outrageous ideas we can come up with to help you get up and out of bed. And just start with something totally outrageous and funny and ridiculous to get to a point where you can then get to something more serious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, part of what happens, you know, so Teresa, you were saying initially that you were worried about your daughter lying. And you know, one of the reasons that kids will lie is because it's, you know, if we take everything with the same amount of seriousness, right, if there's no differentiation between the movie they choose or the grade they get or the job they took or, you know, like, then at some point it's like everything is so heavy that they just want to sort of step out of relationship with that because it's boring and it's just the expectations feel unrealistic and, you know, you just want to say, they just want to say lighten up, right?
Right, yeah.
So, you know, and so you know, Jennifer, when your son is saying things that are completely inappropriate in a camp environment, instead of saying, you know, you shouldn't say that or you shouldn't think that, if we can reframe it to, okay, I got to admit that was funny, and how, you know, have the, you know, like acknowledge that he's a young adult thinking quirky things, right? And you may not admit it's funny, you know, and if that's a different conversation, but okay, I got to admit it, and okay, that's one of those camp no-nos, put that on the camp no-no list or whatever it is. You know, so that you can playfully raise attention to it without making it so serious and so heavy that they begin to lose the ability to tell what's important and what's not. Does that resonate for people?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you think about, like, this sounds crazy, but if you've ever been to a funeral, this is a weird metaphor, but go with me for a second, right? If you've ever been to a funeral, the best funerals, the best eulogies are the ones that still make you laugh. Even when you're in sadness talking about someone who's died, that they make you laugh or smile or feel warm and loving, but there's a playfulness that comes up when someone does a really great job. You know, when everybody can sort of laugh and go, yeah, that was Uncle Joe or whatever. That lightens the heaviness of life. And our kids have a lot of heaviness in their lives. And things are harder for them than they are for their typical peers. And like your daughter, Teresa, is going into senior year. It's a stressful year, right? Actually,
yeah.
Not like all of
yeah.
them are going into senior year. It's a stressful year. It's a major year of transition. It can also be a really great year, but you got to kind of not take it everything so seriously and give them the space to just sometimes just keep it simple and keep it light. And so a lot of this is about how we hold what's going on with them. And I think catastrophizing plays into this. I think, you know, our worry about is he going to lose his job again, right, for example, or whatever, that makes it hard to lighten up. And yet it's the lightening up that allows us to be in a more adult kind of relationship with them and to allow them to be the young adults they are instead of holding them to the children they once were, and to shift our relationship with their engagement of the world. It is completely appropriate for an 18-year-old girl to choose whatever movie she wants to go to. It's hers. She's 18. And if you disapprove, and she knows that, that will prevent her from talking to you about it or being in relationship with you about it. But if you can hold it lightly and say, yeah, I would never go, and I would love to hear what you liked about it because that's the kind of thing that creeps me out or whatever, then you can stay in relationship with who she is now as an adult instead of trying to hold her to who she was as a child or hold us to some notion of how we're supposed to relate to our kids.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to stop and sort of open it up for conversation. What do y'all think? What's coming up?
I think everything you said makes sense. This is Lauren. Got my buy-in.
I got your buy-in.
That wasn't supposed to be funny, but I guess it was kind of funny.
No, it was funny. So what resonates about it for you? What lands, mostly?
Well, this is Teresa. A lot of what you say resonates, and I guess the struggle for me is, yeah, it makes sense. I don't like it, but it makes sense that she can choose whatever movie she wants. That is like let's say we take that same concept to something, and still, I guess it's true what you're saying. I mean, and I guess this is why I wish I could just rewind, but let's say she mm-hmm. decides, yeah, I can, I guess I want to ask you, when you are trying to raise your kids with certain core values and convictions, and you believe that there are certain things that, you know, to me it's kind of the red rules and the blue rules. You shall not lie, cheat, steal, and you know, those are the red rules, and most other rules are blue rules. They're like guidelines, principles that can bend depending mm-hmm. on the situation. But like, so like it would be hard for me, even though it's true. Like, let's say she came up to me and said, you know, I believe I can have sex with whoever I want and not reserve that until a fully committed relationship or marriage. That, I mean, it's just hard for me to detach from that, even though what you're saying is true, you know, and mm-hmm. just treat it like lightly and playfully, you know, because I think mm-hmm. that's a big deal.
Well, and I don't think you need to treat everything lightfully. I think it's okay to be able to say that's a big deal and to know what your red lines are, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But if everything is treated like a red line, they have no way of discerning what's really important and what's not.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Right? So if we treat everything mm-hmm. with equal importance, then, mm-hmm. you know, the sky is always falling.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you really want her to know what your values are, then you communicate that by being really clear and differentiating for her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the whole notion, so the work we're doing here as parents is training them to transition to self-management and to adulthood and to own their own lives, right? And ideally, mm-hmm. we are giving them information and opportunities to practice problem-solving and decision-making while they're in our midst,
mm-hmm.
so that we can help influence them and encourage them to make as good decisions as possible.
Mm-hmm.
They're not always going to make the decisions we would want them to make. But
yeah.
if we try to control their decisions, we lose the ability to actually influence their decisions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? So if you think about what's in your control versus what's in your influence,
uh-huh.
If we, with kids that are 17, 18, if you focus on what can you influence, because ultimately they are in control, like it or
yeah.
not.
Yeah.
Two out of three of your kids are already of majority, and one of them is darn close.
Right.
So you can leverage a little bit. You can hold car keys and tuition payments and those kinds of things. But at the end of the day, they're living their lives, and our job is to be in relationship with them as much as we can so that we still have some capacity to influence and to be able to share our values and our concerns and our interests and let them know when we are concerned about the decisions they're making or encouraging them to make healthy decisions. But our job is to begin to help them see it as their decision instead of trying to please us. And
that's
that
great.
Way we can
yeah.
still be in relationship.
That's really good.
It's a big shift.
Right.
It's a big shift. This is shifting into phase three. 17, 18-year-old kids need us to be, as much as possible, in a phase three parenting place.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they may not be ready for it in some aspects. They may
mm-hmm.
need you to step back into phase two with them while they figure out how to get up and out the door in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Lauren? I mean, that maybe he may need you to be there. But generally speaking, if we understand that we have to try to be in phase three with them as much as possible at this stage so that we can stay in relationship with them, and we can help them problem solve, then we step back into phase two when they need us to. But that's not our default. Does that resonate with people?
Yes, for me. This is Teresa.
We're scared absolutely. The hell out of you all. It's hard. I mean, this is the hardest part, is to sit and watch them make decisions that you wouldn't agree to or decide, or and to say and to allow. It's not about, yeah, we got to let them fall and make mistakes. But sometimes, like, this comes up on our Thursday afternoon call. There's a lot of conversations about use of drugs or alcohol or that kind of stuff. There's lots of things I would like my kids, and a lot of us would like our kids to be doing differently. But we don't have control over that. We do have control over the way that we have our conversations with our kids in order to keep them in relationship with us and to influence how they think about things. That we have a lot of control of. We can't control what happens. Mm-hmm. We can control how we respond.
Mm-hmm.
So what else? What's coming up for people? Lauren, I heard that it resonates. And Teresa.
Yes.
Jennifer, where are you?
I think it resonates now because I guess I'm still trying to grasp the fact that he is 18 and he is more of an adult than a child, even though, you know, he's still on our payroll, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I mean, it's just hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like,
yeah.
I want my baby back. But at the same time,
yeah.
I'm excited to see where his life is going to take him. But I hope he makes the smart choices for it to take him good places.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
And the best way, it totally makes sense. And the best way for you to help him make good choices moving forward is to stay connected, to stay in relationship, to be a person he's willing to talk to when he doesn't know what to do or when he's not sure or when something doesn't go right. It is your strongest tool as a parent at this stage. Is to be in relationship with your kid. So I said earlier I wanted to come back to rock and roll lifestyle, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So this is an example of using play and humor to engage kids. And Lauren, it may speak specifically to your issue with your son, okay? And we started this when our kids were very young, so we started it long before 17, but we always took the position that if there was something they wanted to do that was going to keep them up late at night or keep them out at night, and they had something to do the next day, we said to them, before we said yes to it, it was always, okay, now you're wanting to do this late, whatever, and you know you've got this in the morning, right? Right. Okay, rock and roll lifestyle, what does that mean? So our joke of rock and roll lifestyle was, rock and roll artists are up all night partying, and they're still up and on the bus the next day going to the next town, right? And so we would allow them to make the choices about going to the midnight movie or whatever it was, knowing they were going to get less sleep. And so we would have them think about, okay, I can take a nap tomorrow afternoon, or no, I'm going to go to sleep now, or, you know, whatever it was. And so we would wake them up and say, okay, rock and roll lifestyle, time to get up, you know. And they had pre-agreed to it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of part of the bargain. And so, Lauren, you've got a son who wants to stay up gaming, and he's got to be up in the morning. You know, it's a great concept to introduce to him. It's like, okay. Do you want to, you know you need a certain amount of sleep, getting up is hard, you know, it may be that the choice for him during this internship is to nap in the afternoons. So he can stay up late in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's not an unreasonable choice for him to make in the summer at this age. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If he's making the conscious choice. But, you know, because he is 18, he's not 28.
Right.
And in a job 5 days a week for the next 6 years, you know, whatever. Like,
mm-hmm.
If he comes up with that as a solution, it's a potentially good solution. Or he may say, no, I really need to get off at midnight because I just, if I don't get 7 hours of sleep, I can't function, or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the problem-solving conversation you want to have with him, is helping him see what's he trying to achieve and what is it going to take for him to do it successfully. And what are the pieces that come into place, right? Because right now, getting up in the morning is something I have to do for someone else. I have to do it for mom. I have to do it for dad. I have to do it for the job. It's not part of, I got to figure out how to manage it so I can get up in the morning and get to work and still get to do the stuff I want to do. So right now, I'm just going to do the stuff I want to do, and it's someone else's job to get me out of bed.
Mm-hmm.
Does that resonate?
Yeah, so how do I say that, though?
So the conversation is about, so go back to age, right? I get that it's summer and that it sucks that you have an internship that starts at 7 in the morning. And we're happy to work with you to help you figure out how to get up and get out. And it feels like, I would like you to start taking ownership of getting yourself up in the morning. Are you willing to try that? Are you willing to do that? You know, it's a lot to ask us to get up in order to get you up and then to have to wake you up three times. It just feels like unfair. That's a little unfair. What do you think? Keep
mm-hmm.
putting it back to him so that you're getting him to be part of the conversation about, let's have a conversation. Let's talk about what are all the pieces that are going on, what's making it hard, what might you do differently. Help him problem solve to it and see the processes instead of it just being about, I had to wake you up three times this morning, and that's not okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That fits into a bigger picture for him that we really want him to see and understand, which is, in the work world, sometimes you have early hours, and it sucks. Somebody else is setting your hours, and it stinks, and you got to learn how to manage that. And so it's part of a problem-solving conversation instead of just, I need you to get up in the morning. Does that resonate?
Mm-hmm.
And so whether it's, you know, rock and roll lifestyle as a playfulness or, you know, asking him, you know, to think through what are all the things he wants to make sure he can do, or helping him think about how much sleep he really needs. Has he thought about it? Probably not.
We did talk about that because I was curious. And
what did he say?
He says that if he gets under 11 hours of sleep, that he's tired no matter what. If it's 5 hours of sleep or 7 hours of sleep or 9 hours of sleep, if it's under 11, he's tired. So it doesn't really matter how much sleep he gets. And so
okay.
I said, well, do you think that you don't think that it, like, adds up, you know, every night if you only got 5 hours of sleep? And he said he did think that it makes a difference, but that he doesn't feel well rested
for a week.
Mm-hmm.
Test it for a week. What would it be like for him to be well rested? How does he know the difference? Napping may be a really good solution for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, and learning how to nap and plan your naps and time your naps—it's a college kid's opportunity to know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's always fascinating. My kids all nap. I don't, because I keep a pretty regular schedule. But, well, and so you get the value of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you use it as a tool, it can be a really valuable one.
Mm-hmm.
But if he knows he needs 11, that's a lot of sleep, 11 hours, then start testing it with him. Well, let's see what makes it better. How do you know when you feel better?
Mm-hmm.
Stay in curiosity mode, stay in, you know, because all of that is staying in that support place of helping him figure out how to manage himself.
Mm-hmm. that all makes complete sense. I do have one quick question about something that you said earlier when you're talking about them talking mm-hmm. and being in a relationship. I do feel like we do an okay job of being in relationship, but he's not a huge talker and never has been like he likes to feel like he can solve things on his own. He does talk to his friends about things, but he doesn't come to us and say like, hey, I have this problem. And that bothers me because I feel like it's so important. But I can't force that. And I don't think, is that a problem? I guess is what
you can't force it. But this is a great way for you to get into a problem-solving mood with him.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is actually a problem he has to solve that he doesn't recognize as a problem he's got to solve.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you can be in problem-solving with him around this issue. And as you have success with him and he feels your support and your matter-of-factness mm-hmm. and your non-judgment and all of that, you're teaching him to problem solve with you in the future.
Is it normal there? Should I be concerned that my 18-year-old son isn't coming
pretty normal.
And sharing his deepest concerns?
No, he's not. And in fact, at this age, that's when you start saying, look, there's things you're going to want to share with me and things that you don't, and that's fine, and I respect that, and I respect your privacy.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to know that you can always talk to me if you want, and anything that comes up, it doesn't matter. And but it's perfectly appropriate at 18. I mean, did you share everything with your parents at 18?
Mm-mm.
It's perfectly appropriate. I hear sometimes parents tell me that they know more about their kids' sex lives than I would ever want to know. And I think there's a value in it if you have that kind of relationship. But that's not typical.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It makes me feel like we're not in relationship because he's not coming to me and talking about everything when he has.
But is he talking to you about something? So you and if you're worried about it, then focus on building the relationship. Go out to the movies, have family dinners,
mm-hmm.
don't talk about every conversation shouldn't be about teaching him something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Be in relationship with this young man
mm-hmm.
who's coming into adulthood and has a lot of decisions to make in the next year,
mm-hmm.
right? And you get to be – he's going to want some input on it if you stay in a place of holding that it's his decisions to make and your job to support him in it instead of wanting to make sure he makes the decisions you think he should make.
Mhm. Okay.
And that's the key, is if they feel like our agenda, we're always pushing our agenda, they're gonna step back. But if they begin to see that our agenda is to help them fulfill their agenda, they'll lean in. And this is actually a good opportunity to do that. If you make it not about, you can't do this to me, I don't want to have to wake up, but you make it about, I know you're juggling a lot of things and it's really hard to get someplace at 7 in the morning and you still want to be able to play your games and you still want this. Would you like some help figuring out how to make that work for you?
You say it so nicely.
Oh, I know. I agree.
Just remember this is recorded and you can go back and listen a couple of times.
Where do you find them? Because I don't know that where to find
in the PSS
recording.
Members area. If you go
okay.
on the website, in the top left corner, you see the word members.
Mm-hmm.
Click there. Every Monday email has the password to get into the
okay.
members, into the PSS. You click on group coaching, and the webinars are all there.
And
the recordings are all there. Everything's there.
And can we listen
okay.
to not only our Tuesday sessions, but the Thursday sessions? Like let's say we want to hear more sessions.
Oh
that
my gosh! You can listen
to issues of
you can listen kids. To every PSS
okay.
call. You can listen
okay.
to every PSS
okay.
call we've ever done, dating back
okay.
to 2011. I think maybe it may be now just 2014. But you can listen
because,
to anything, and they're all done by topic, and you can hear
yeah,
how much better
okay.
we've gotten over the years.
Well, it does help to know you're not alone, and so many other people out there share the same struggles and how they manage it and solve it. Yeah.
this is hard stuff, right? Parenting complex kids is not easy. Parenting teenagers is not easy. Parenting complex teenagers is really not easy. So let's take a minute to sort of close up. What are you taking away from today? Each of you. What's your aha or your takeaway?
Okay, this is Teresa. So loud and clear is staying connected, that I need to be an influencer, and in fact, as much as I might want to control, I can't, and to let them make
Sorry
their decisions and support to support their agenda. It's not my agenda, it's theirs.
Yeah.
Those are big things for me.
Yeah. And any commitment to action you want to make based on that?
Well, I think I certainly can. I tend to be, in terms of temperament, kind of a melancholic. So this using humor is good, and really just reframing the conversations to go along with that. That is their agenda. I'm here to support your agenda. How can I help? So,
Is there a conversation you want to have with your daughter about making it okay for her to tell you things she thinks you won't agree with?
So maybe to figure out, So what you said about, it's being okay with her choosing something that I wouldn't do. I guess that, like, just even having that, sharing that conversation with her, that's okay. And if I'm not making that okay, help me understand how I can. You know, I don't know. That's a little scary for me.
I love that.
But I think,
I had heard a really terrible, difficult story from somebody whose son got into he was in college and got into some bad legal situation, and he didn't call his father, who was a lawyer. And the dad... and let the fraternity handle. So, I mean, it was a pretty bad situation. And it was a big wake-up call to the dad that his son didn't feel safe enough to call him.
Yeah.
And so I guess my message to all of you is, even if they're going to tell you something you don't want to hear, Lord knows you want them to tell you rather than not.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. Play with that some and process it a little bit.
Yeah. Okay.
Know it's an important place for you to look. And thanks for having that transparency.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? What are you taking away and what do you want to commit to?
This is Lauren. We are going to talk about getting up and seeing if there's anything we can do to support him in getting up on his own, and I like the rock and roll lifestyle, and the reminder about being in a relationship so that we can still have the capacity to influence is a good one for me, and lightening up. I tried it. I think I kind of use humor, but I feel like I'm the only one that thinks I'm funny. The kids kind of grow.
Well, then you can make fun of that.
At my jokes.
So you're a mom who does dad jokes. Make fun of that.
Yeah, I do. And I think they're so funny. And they're like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's okay. Then make fun of the fact that nobody thinks you're funny.
You know what I learned? Can I say this real quick? My daughter was younger, and we were at her soccer game. And there was a mom and two girls there, and the mom said something to one of the girls like, yeah, of course you can do that, you're my favorite child. And I thought, oh my gosh, like, I would never say that to my kids. And then I was like, that's really funny. And so we started doing that, and just as a joke, of course, but Right. Before that point, I was really serious. I would never, like, want to affect their self-esteem negatively and think that I actually had a favorite child. And but after that, I was like, it was kind of funny. And, I don't know. We laugh about
it's powerful.
And it was just a wake-up
you
call
do.
For
yeah.
me.
Laughing is huge. My kids still have a huge joke that everybody thinks that my middle kid is my favorite kid. They've all decided. And, you know, because they all know I would never play a favorite,
mm-hmm.
right? It's just so not me. But the joke about it is a constant running family joke. As long as they know it's a joke, that you have to be mm-hmm. careful when kids are young because they don't get sarcasm. Anymore,
right.
You know? But your kids are all old enough now to get it.
Mm-hmm.
So let loose. Be yourself. Be human with them. They will appreciate it. So one more. I think it was Teresa.
No, I already went.
No. It was, I'm sorry, Jennifer. I was looking
yeah.
at Jennifer's name and called Teresa. Jennifer, any closing ahas or commitments from you? I see her on the call, but she may have. Looks like she's on the call. Jennifer, are you there? She may have had to.
I'm sorry, I'm talking away and I forgot I had muted you.
What's your takeaway?
That I just have to remember, you know, he's 18, he's an adult, and what wasn't appropriate a year or two ago, because of his age, he was underage, can be now.
Yeah.
And it's just having to remember that.
Mm-hmm. You'll have a lot more fun with your kids if you step into a relationship with your young adult kids and stop treating them like children. Because they are tired of being treated like children.
Amen.
They haven't been children for a really long time. They may be
right.
developmentally delayed, but they're not children. You know?
Yeah.
I got a card recently. It was the best thank you note I've ever gotten from a group of kids. I was chaperoning a music trip at school, and I got a card from one of the kids that said, "Thank you for treating us like adults." And it was just so simple. Right? But they really appreciate it because they are young adults. These kids aren't children. They're kids, but they are not children. And it's time for us to shift how we are in relationship with them to help them live their best young adult lives. So I'm going to close the call on that note. Thanks for your engagement and your transparency and for the conversation today. And I hope it did a little bit to set you guys up for a great summer.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank
Take
you.
Care, everyone. Have a great week. Bye.
You too.
Bye-bye.